Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I hope you're having a good day. It's a lovely afternoon here in West Hollywood, Los Angeles. I've been sitting out on my terrace, enjoying some reading and the occasional piece on Hallow, one of my favorite sites these days for meditation and prayer. And so I decided to come back in and record this program for this Saturday. And it's going to be about something I probably mentioned a few years ago, but a slightly different direction regarding it. A couple of years ago, I think it was, I did a podcast about Carlo Acutis, an Italian millennial boy who died at the age of 15 of a fast-moving leukemia. He is now known, as of October 2020, as Blessed Carlo Acutis, one step away from officially designated sainthood. Why? In this period of our Catholic journey, the time of the effort at Eucharistic renewal, meaning a restoration of the key recognition of the mystery of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, in that little white host, transubstantiated through the priest by God, this young man who died in 2006 has even more relevance to Catholics today. He had an experience that most of us have much later in life, if we have it at all. Something like at 6 or 7 years old, a recognition that Jesus is very much present to us every time we go to Mass, every time we sit before the tabernacle in any church, anywhere in the world. Carlo was born to wealthy Italian parents in London, but he grew up in Milan. His family were not particularly religious, but somehow the light of faith came strongly to Carlo when he was just a child. He wanted to be close to the Lord. He wanted to go to Mass. He wanted to receive First Communion. Sometimes it almost seems as if he hijacked his mother back to the faith in a wonderful way. Why do some people see it right away while the rest of us resist through our lives or never accept it? That's a whole tale of its own. The Lord, as Carlo knew, however, wants us all to be saved. That's why Jesus did what he did, to be abused and murdered by his own creatures on a cross, bruised and humiliated, and he gave us all the opportunity to take his wounded hand in ours and to let him lead us through the darkness of sin and back to the light of heaven. But somehow, especially, he gave to this boy the light to intervene, to intercede for us who are so often in a selfish blindness. There are many quotes from this young man related to the work he was given to do in his short life. Here's one that I heard right after I first became aware of him. All people are born as originals, but many die as photocopies. Another one, sadness is looking at ourselves. Happiness is looking toward God. Another, what does it matter if you can win 1,000 battles if you cannot win against your own corrupt passions? It doesn't matter. The real battle is with ourselves. Here's one I really like. Do not be afraid, because with the incarnation of Jesus, death becomes life, and there's no need to escape in eternal life. Something extraordinary awaits us. Here's one that took me a long time. It's still taking me time to really, really embrace. Our soul is like a hot air balloon. If, by chance, there is a mortal sin, the soul falls to the ground. Confession is like the fire underneath the balloon, enabling the soul to rise again. It is important to go to confession often. And for me today, this essentially is the theme of today's podcast related to Carlo and to the Eucharist, is one I had not heard until this week, and that is, Jerusalem is right on our doorstep. What is the exhibit? But First, let me not digress, but sort of set the stage by reading a section from the New Testament, Matthew 12:38-42. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." I guess I'd call the subject of this exhibit the Eucharistic Miracles Exhibit. We know, if we believe, that the transubstantiated host still looks like an ordinary host, what sometimes people call a wafer, which I can't take when people call it that for some reason, but that it still looks the same, like a piece of bread. But in truth and in fact, the substance has completely changed, and it is the body, soul, and the blood, divinity of Christ, all of it together. But with the Eucharistic miracle, something else also happens in terms of the form, what you begin to see visible on the host. It is more than once happened when the priest who stands in Alter Christus in the representation of Christ is having struggles with his belief. And so the host becomes something additional, not different, but additional, only in terms of what we can actually see. It gets human elements, blood and flesh, something visible on the host, part of the host that literally bleeds. I guess we can call that a sign, a visible sign, just as I personally would call the Shroud of Turin a sign of the resurrected Christ, the reality of the resurrected Christ, the kind of evidence that those who doubt with a fervor demand. But remember, which Christ criticized, the desire of the people to see signs. And even when they saw signs, they didn't believe. And that's the thing. With Christ standing in front of them in 33 AD, working miracles day after day, still people rejected him, said, "Nope, it isn't happening," or "It's from the devil." And I always ask the question, why would the devil banish devils from the souls of others? Another subject, I guess. Our Lord rose, and even the apostles still doubted. Even Thomas, one of his very own leaders, doubted until he could put his fingers in the wounds. And we have this exhibit and the shroud. And what of us? Do we still doubt? And of course, we have the ultimate, the actual presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. In his own town, the place where Jesus lived, what did the people say? That's Nazareth, where he lived with his family. "Oh, this is just Joseph the carpenter's son, the son of Mary. He's nothing special," even as he's all over the territory doing the very special. But he couldn't seem to do it in Nazareth. Why? Because those for whom he would have done it rejected him from the start. You could say they didn't even want to be shown. Carlo, just a boy in the early 21st century, knew that with us is the greatest sign, and not merely a sign, but he, Jesus himself. And Jesus knows that human beings are so weak, and though he warns that no matter what the sign, we many of us will still reject and scoff and say, "Oh no, there's only us, randomly thrown here, and we make our own meaning, and there's no eternity," and yet, he still sends us visual, tactile realities to remind us of what he did and what he is in the Eucharist. Why? Because he wants us to turn to him and so go to heaven and be with him. Because of Carlo Acutis, the soon-to-be official millennial saint, who strove to pass on his love of the Eucharist to fellow Catholics and to all people, we have this exhibit that has gone all over the world, and of late is all over Los Angeles, his catalog of the mystical phenomena where the true presence takes on unexplained visible biology, and from one item to another, the blood type is the same, and often the biology is that part of the heart, the pericardium, that which was pierced by the lance of Longinus to be sure that he was dead. I found an article from Ascension, November 3rd, 2021, by Jeanette Williams, and she talks about one of the miracles. In 1970, more than 1,200 years later, the Archbishop of Valenciano, with Rome's approval, requested a thorough scientific examination of the miraculous relics by Dr. Edward Linoli, director of the hospital at Arezzo and professor of anatomy, histology, chemistry, and clinical microscopy. His report, submitted on March 4, 1971, detailed the following results. The coagulated substance is human blood, AB blood type, with the same protein distribution as found in normal, fresh blood. The host is human muscular striated tissue of the myocardium, left ventricle, heart, arteries, veins, branch of vagus nerve, and adipose tissue, all can be identified. Like the blood, the flesh is also fresh, living tissue, because it responded rapidly to all the clinical reactions distinctive of living beings, as if the flesh and blood samples had been taken that day. Histological tests revealed no sign of preservation techniques of any kind. There are something like 32 approved Eucharistic miracles. Carlo went all over the world when he was well, to the various locations of the miracles, like Lanciano, and he took photographs and he cataloged and he put them on his virtual website, which still exists, and now real copies are going from place to place for all to see, to be reminded that God so much wants us to be with him, that he keeps reminding us of his greatness in the Eucharist. He gives us chance after chance after chance to pay attention to him, to get it right, because he wants us with him forever. When we stand in the presence of the Eucharist, we are standing before Jesus Christ as truly and really present as he ever was to the apostles. When a Catholic who believes in the Eucharist, in the presence of Christ, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, receives him, he or she is receiving the person of Christ. The person of Christ, God incarnate. These last years, we keep hearing about following the science, and yet there seems to be really a reluctance to do that, really, with regard to the scientific review of certain of these miracles and of, say, the Shroud of Turin, by scientists who claim to be scientists, if they have an assumption that we want to disprove, rather than let's find out if this is really or truly the Shroud of Christ, or if this is really and truly a miracle of the Eucharist, which really is a miracle upon a miracle. When the Shroud of Turin, which is said to be the burial Christ of our Lord as he resurrected, was said to be a medieval fake because of carbon-14 dating in 1988, the scientists of the time, do you remember that at one time, just in terms of science, that scientists believed in leeching people to heal them? That was the science of the time. So the humble among scientists should know that it develops all the time. But these scientists just sarcastically, in my view, announced that, well, it's not real, the Shroud isn't real, it's not real, and they moved on. But to this day, those scientists, knowing that no human hand has ever been able to recreate the image, can't say what it is. They only say, well, it's not this. But as science has moved on, the carbon-14 test has been shown to be faulty on the Shroud, gravely so. And what we know is that human beings cannot duplicate the image, that the level of light necessary to create the light of the resurrection that imprinted the image cannot be duplicated by us so very sophisticated human beings. And so, back to the Eucharistic miracles. You say, or the cynics say, oh, well, it was somehow falsely done. Show me how. Great, show me how. Show me. I am willing to be shown. I don't want to believe in something that isn't true. But time after time, people with expertise see what these hosts exude in a way that we cannot deny. And by the way, the church never rushes to give an eye to all of this. It really, really, really keeps pushing to see maybe there's some other natural explanation, not a supernatural one. They don't rush to say, oh yes, it's a miracle. There are miracles that we know of that the church has never actually said officially are miracles, or very few. Well, still people say, no, no, it doesn't work for me. The fact something doesn't work for you or for me is irrelevant to whether it is true. That's something we've lost. At least, explore it. There are people who believe in UFOs that are more religious about that. Maybe even some of those people don't believe in Eucharistic miracles. Why? Why do you believe in one amazing thing but not in another? Is it because you have an agenda? You don't want to believe in it? If there are extraterrestrials, fine. That's not going to change my faith. What do we Catholics have to bolster our faith? We have, of course, Jesus Christ, uttered by the Father, the Word, who came to us with the nature of God and of man as a baby, who grew to be crucified by his creatures, who themselves thought they were the gods of truth and of God's plan. We have the empty tomb. We know that he was seen by many people in the transfigured flesh after he rose. And still there were so many who did not believe. Many did believe, and those people who believed went about a world that did not have the luxury of the internet and air travel, walking harshly through harsh terrain to speak of the risen Christ in our salvation. There were many writings, many before the New Testament and after it, that spoke of the reality of the Eucharist as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. How many Catholics are aware of Ignatius of Antioch or Clement or Linus, even though their names are often spoken during the Eucharistic prayer? Many of these died horrible deaths of unspeakable cruelty because they accepted what they saw and because the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them a courage that they did not heretofore have to believe when they did not see. Even then, when Jesus was among them. For 2,000 plus years, the truth of the Eucharist has been communicated by terribly imperfect human beings, because the truth transcends their sinfulness, our sinfulness, which is healed with our cooperation by the very act of crucifixion, death, and resurrection, all of which is before us in the Eucharist every time we go to Mass. And then we have also these amazing other relics, like the Shroud of Turin, the Holy Face of Monopolo, these Eucharistic miracles which seal, or one would say maybe should seal, the truth of this transubstantiated host. My little parish is St. Victor in West Hollywood. A boy from Milan, Carlo Acutis, who is buried in Assisi, St. Francis was a favorite of his, creates this catalog, and some 17 years after his death at age 15, this disciple's effort to remind us of Jerusalem right at our doorstep. That was one of his other phrases. It's Jerusalem right at our doorstep. Jesus himself comes to us, to our front doors, in this casual, sunny climb of Los Angeles. St. Victor is having this exhibition on August 12th and 13th, and then it moves to St. Sebastian in the next weekend. Even how it's moving is something of a little miracle. The same freestanding posters are accordioned into a holder. Very well done, I might add. It sort of slips right in. You have to do it really carefully. And then each goes into a long bag, canvas bag, and then they are moved by volunteers from parish to parish so that everyone can be reminded of the miracle of the Eucharist because of a blessed boy named Carlo Acutis. And the faith founded upon the rock of Peter by our Lord continues despite the best efforts of the devil and the secular world to destroy it. It never will be destroyed as long as there are disciples like Carlo, and then we, each of us, can be disciples as well, each of us even by going to these exhibits and believing and receiving the Eucharist in full faith and credit of the fact that it is Jesus present to us on our doorstep. Well, thank you for listening to another program, and I'm hoping that you are telling your friends and family about it. I noticed that I'm getting some hits on things like Pandora and I think Google, so it's not just coming off Podbean. I'm really enjoying the fact that there seem to be rather continuous hits, and they are, as I said, coming occasionally from other countries. So, you know, if this is making any difference to you, this program, it makes a difference to me because it makes me aware even more of my faith. It's maybe even part of my meditation during the week. So listen and tell your friends and family, and have a terrific next week.